You've heard me say before that C.H. Spurgeon used to always say, keep the Bible and the newspaper together. Keep your Bible and your newspaper together. In other words, what Spurgeon was saying was that you should always look at current events in the light of Scripture. Always try to make the connection between the Bible and your newspaper, or I suppose today would say your Bible and your laptop, because not where people get most of their news today, on the internet, the websites, or keep your Bible and your smartphone together. Because again, it's amazing what you can bring up on your phone, all the iPhones and the iPads. Whenever I heard of an iPad, I thought that was something you put over a sore eye, but apparently not. But anyway, this is where we get our news from today, or at least the younger generation. And Spurgeon's message was always try to look for the link between what's happening in the world and what God says in the Word. So I want to do that today. And I want us to think about the refugee crisis, because over the last couple of weeks, there's been really nothing else on the news but the refugee or migrant crisis. And so many people have been fleeing from different countries in the Middle East and coming to Europe. And my, there's been some tragedies, hasn't there? How could we ever forget the image of that little boy on the Turkish beach? That little three-year-old boy drowned. And by the way, although this wasn't really covered on the news, his little or his older brother died too, just five. And two little boys, 3 and 5 years of age, drowned trying to cross the Aegean Sea. How sad. Our hearts go out to people like that. And so there's been tragedies, and it's sad. And as I said on Thursday night, we do sympathize with genuine refugees. And we have read today, Old Testament and New Testament, how the Lord commands us to love the stranger and to show hospitality to the stranger. That word stranger, it could be translated refugee. People today say the Bible's out of date. Not at all. The Bible's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. And the Lord says, whenever genuine refugees come, those who are poor and needy, come to your land and they need your help, don't you turn them away, because once you were a stranger in Egypt, you people of Israel. And we are to have sympathy for genuine refugees. Now, of course, we need to make the distinction between refugees and migrants. Because you have heard me say, I think I mentioned it last Sunday, that there are supposedly Islamic fighters who are infiltrating into the country and into Europe in the midst of all the genuine asylum seekers. And we need to beware of that. There's some people who say, oh, just throw the borders open, throw the gates open, throw the doors wide open, let everybody in who wants to come in. And the new leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, of course, he believes in unlimited immigration. Now, we could say more about him. Nasty piece of work, but we haven't the time to do that today, and we'll not digress into that path. But there are people who say, oh, just let them all in, let everyone in, don't check anyone. Well, that's not, I believe, what the Bible teaches. I believe the Bible teaches that we're not to be naive, we're not to be gullible. Kings and prime ministers and those in authority are to defend their people from danger, from murderers, from terrorists. But let's make the distinction between say, a terrorist or someone coming into the country for some ulterior motive. Let's make the distinction between that kind of a person and a genuine refugee. What does the dictionary say? The dictionary defines a refugee as one who flees, especially to another country, seeking refuge from war, political oppression, religious persecution, or a natural disaster. So what it's really saying is that a refugee is someone who seeks refuge. See, if you take the last letter off refugee, it leaves you with refuge. And as I've already said, our hearts today as individuals and as a church should go out to genuine refugees, people who are seeking refuge. By the way, don't forget about the Christian refugees. There's a poster on the notice board, I put it up the other day, from the Barnabas Fund about the thousands of Middle Eastern Christians who are fleeing from Iraq and Syria. And they're fleeing and they're seeking refuge. Those are genuine refugees. Do you know the Bible says that we are to love our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ before we love the unsaved? Did you get that? Because there are a lot of people who profess Christ and they're all into love for the lost and evangelism and all the rest of it. But you ask them to love their brother and sister in Christ sitting beside them in the pew, and boy, there's not much love there. In fact, there's churches in Ulster today and there's people sitting in the same pew and they're not even speaking to each other. I remember hearing of a particular prayer meeting, not in this church, but there was a prayer meeting in another church, and there was this man, and he prayed, "Lord, will you speak to me tonight? Oh, Lord, speak to me." The preacher knew the kind of man he was, a cantankerous kind of man who didn't get on with others, and he thought to himself, you'd be better to speak to the man sitting beside you before you ask the Lord to speak to you. Some people that pray, oh, I'm going to speak to God tonight. I'll pray. Oh, I love speaking to God. I love talking to the Lord. They wouldn't talk to the Christian beside them. They've fallen out with them. There's something wrong if we're talking to the Lord, but we can't talk to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you see, we are, as believers, to have a concern for Christians in Syria, in Iraq, or wherever, North Korea, wherever it is, and they're being persecuted. We must have a concern and a love for them before we start to reach out to the lost and evangelize. You know, friends, today there's no point in evangelizing and seeking to win the lost. And that's important. But there's no point doing that until we first have a love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And a concern for them. What does the Bible say? You go home, you read Galatians chapter 6. Let us do good unto all men. It doesn't finish there. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Yeah, we are to have a concern for the welfare of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, and when we get that piece of the jigsaw puzzle in place, then Friday at 11 o'clock, let's go. Outreach. Love for the lost. And when we talk about love for the lost, please don't think that it's a sort of a gushy, airy-fairy feeling in here. Sentimentality in here. I've such a feeling for people out there. I feel so sorry for them. You don't have to have that feeling to reach out to them. Now, you may have. But, you see, love's an action. It's not a feeling, or not just a feeling. Whenever you have a love for people, you will do something. It's very easy just to sit back and say, I have concern for people out there who are going to hell. I feel sorry for them, and I pity them. Just carry on with your life. Do nothing. If that's my attitude, I don't love them one iota. If that's your attitude, you don't love them either. You see, love is an action. Love will cause us to sacrifice. But let's pray for Christian refugees. And let's pray that God will give them the grace and protect them. Of course, refugees have always been around. We think of back in Bible times, the Exodus, whenever the Lord brought all those Jewish refugees out into the wilderness. We think of the Second World War, again, the Jewish people, when many, many of the Jews left lands in Europe and fled from Hitler, seeking refuge from Hitler. You may have heard a few months ago of a man called Sir Nicholas Winton. He had a system called the Kinder Transport. And during the Second World War, he would rescue children and transport children out of occupied lands and save them from the Nazi murderous regime. May we thank God for people like that, Oscar Schindler, other people, the righteous among the nations who helped the refugees. Do you know that in the early church there were refugees? In the book of Acts, you read that whenever Paul or Saul persecuted the church, it speaks there of a great persecution. Do you know what it says? They were scattered everywhere. The believers were scattered from Jerusalem, and they were scattered everywhere, refugees in the early church. What did they do? Whenever they were scattered, did they grumble and complain and just hide away? No, do you know what it says? They preached everywhere. Oh, it wasn't just the apostles or the clergy who preached. It was every believer spoke of Christ and witnessed for Christ. But here's a thought today. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was a refugee. Did you ever think about that? He was a genuine refugee. Think of the Christmas story, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Matthew 2:13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. There were three refugees, Mary, Joseph, and the infant Christ. And they fled from Israel, from Bethlehem, into Egypt. Of course, the prophet said, out of Egypt have I called my son. The day came whenever Christ returned back from Egypt. But he was a refugee in Egypt. That puts a different slant on it. When people say, oh, forget about the refugees, don't have any concern for them. Well, whenever we remember that our Savior was a refugee, well, that puts a different perspective to it. I suppose we could say he was the first Christian refugee. Think today of the Yazidi people in Iraq. You may have heard of them. Yazidi, they're a Christian group in Iraq, and over recent months, they have been fleeing ISIS. As ISIS have taken over large swathes of the Middle East, the Yazidi people, Christian people, have been fleeing. And there are many, many believers today who cannot come to a church service like this. Oh, dare I ever come into this church on the Sunday morning and say, no big deal. Don't think I'll come next Sunday. I'm not bothered. How can I or you have that attitude, a lukewarm attitude toward a church, toward the house of God, whenever in the Middle East right now, this terrorist group, ISIS, are demolishing buildings like this? My, what a privileged people we are. Jesus was a refugee. Let me share one final thought, or a couple of final thoughts as we finish today. How should we treat genuine refugees? I've already touched on this, but I'll come back to it again. You see, the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, or it tells us rather there, that whenever Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. You know, whenever we look at our TV screens or the smartphone, that app on your smartphone, and you see the pictures, or on Facebook or Twitter, and you see the pictures of all those refugees, we should have compassion. What do I mean by compassion? We should desire their conversion, their salvation. For that's the greatest compassion of all. Oh, there's people, and they say, oh, give them food and shelter. Bring them in. Bring them into your home. Put a roof over their head. That's good. That's important. But the greatest compassion of all is for us to say, how can we reach them for Christ? How can we bring these souls to the Savior? How can we share the gospel with them? That's true compassion. Yes, we should have compassion for genuine refugees, but let me say this, we should also have compassion even for terrorists, even for those ISIS fighters who are coming in. Because remember, the Apostle Paul was a fighter. The Apostle Paul was a terrorist before he was saved. And I know that nationally our government must use discretion and wisdom, and they have a duty under God to protect our people from murder and bloodshed and violence. That's what Islam stands for, of course. If you follow the Quran, you're going to be violent. It's full of violence. But our government have a duty to defend us from people like that. But nonetheless, we must have compassion and pray that these souls will be delivered. Lord, take away the blindness. Deliver them from Islam. Deliver them from their fanaticism. Deliver them from their extremism. Lord, do for them what you did for the Apostle Paul. Oh, we're to have compassion. That's what Jesus had as he looked on the multitude. He had compassion. Finally, let me say, you need to be a refugee. Did you hear me? You need to be a refugee. If you're not a believer, if you're not born again, God says today, be a refugee. You're saying to yourself, what on earth do you mean? Do you know what John the Baptist cried on the banks of the Jordan? Flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath to come. Isn't that what refugees do? They flee. Flee from danger. A true, genuine refugee is in fear of their life. For those in the meeting today who are out of Christ, without a Savior, you should be in fear of the judgment of God. Because the Bible says you've broken the law of God. The Bible says you're guilty before God. Oh, it's not that one day when you stand before the Lord at the great white throne that he's going to say, guilty! Condemned! No, you're guilty already. You're condemned already. And you see, the message of John the Baptist is the message that I must bring to you today. Flee from the wrath to come. Do you know what that word flee literally means? Wait for it. Run like the wind. Run like the wind. I don't think any of us could run as fast as the wind. But the point is, don't hang about. What's between you and death? What's between you and eternity? What's between you and hell? See this wee ticker in here? See this breath in your nostrils today? That's all between you and death and eternity and hell. David said, there is but a step between me and death. You not think that you need to be a refugee? Flee from the wrath to come. Flee to Christ. Be like Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. You remember we were showing it to the boys and girls today. The Christian fled from the city of destruction. He was a refugee, if you like, a spiritual refugee. He fled from the city of destruction and he went to the celestial city. This wee woman one day, she was with her doctor and she was witnessing to him and she talked about the cholesterol city. She got mixed up. I'm saved. I'm going to the cholesterol city. Well, it's not the cholesterol city. It's the celestial city. That's what heaven is. But tell me, is that where you're headed today? Have you left the city of destruction? Oh, we could talk today about the cities of refuge in the Old Testament. Places of safety for those who were guilty. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it says there of believers, we have fled for refuge. That's how it describes the Christians. We have fled for refuge. You know, every believer in this service today has fled for refuge to Christ. We're all refugees, those of us who are saved. And we're going home to glory soon to see the city bright, aren't we? To walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. My, what a day that will be. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there.